You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Tottenham, top their group after a last-second winner by Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. Liverpool finished second but end the group stage beating Napoli at Anfield. Chelsea bounced back from the weekend with a convincing victory versus Dynamo Zagreb. And Man City come from behind to win 3-1 at the Etihad against Sevilla. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
And before we get into things, mate, just wanted to let you know there's a weekend of November the 5th and 6th is filled with much-watch events on NBC and Peacock. It all begins Saturday with Everton versus Leicester City kicking off at 1:30pm Eastern Time. After that, it's the horses' turn at the Breeders' Cup. That's at 3:30pm. Followed by the Clemson Tigers taking on Notre Dame football in South Bend, and all capped off with a brand new edition of Saturday Night Live. The action continues on Sunday with the NASCAR Cup Series Championship, that's at 3pm, and the Titans battling the Chiefs in Sunday Night Football starting at 7pm. All live and exclusive only on NBC and Peacock. Okay, the big read out of the way, my friend. Let's get to the big game of this round, certainly for English clubs in the Champions League. Spurs still had plenty of work to do, going to Marseille, difficult place to go. We know the atmosphere can be difficult. Not helped, Rob, as well, when stories are out there that the Marseille fans were letting fireworks off at the Spurs hotel between 1:30 and 4:30 a.m. in the morning. So it was one of those days where the fans were playing their part, because I think everybody realised how big and how important this game was.
Well, it was big for both of them. And, of course, Spurs went into the game just needing a point. They won the game 2-1, Robert the Velodrome in Marseille. Yeah. Goals from Højbjerg in the last kick of the game to make it 2-1. And Mbemba scored a wonderful header for Marseille just before half-time, I think it was, and Lenglet got the equalising goal just after half-time. So with that late goal was winning the group, Rob. And at the end of this podcast, we're going to go through the first place, second place, and who they can potentially get when the draw is made for the round of 16. Mm-hmm. In general, just looking at the team, Rob, you know, we're always interested in what the team selection is.
Yeah.
Antonio Conte, we have to say, was up in the stand. He got a red card, didn't he, from the last?
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't hard to
be going
there,
crazy at the, I think it was the VAR decision at the end of the last game. So he wasn't involved, I guess, at all in terms of coaching the team. In terms of the side, Rob, Ryan Sessegnon, it's kind of interesting this. Ryan Sessegnon played right wing back.
Correct.
With Perisic left wing back. Now, why would they do that, Robbie, when I think there was three right wing backs on the bench? Jed Spence, Emerson Royale, and Matt Doherty. What was the thinking?
Thinking behind it initially is, well, I think the first is he's not comfortable with the right backs in the football club. That's a given, and it's an area he will definitely upgrade, I think, maybe not this window, but certainly next summer. He probably feels the athleticism of Sessegnon probably just is a better balance in him going on the right. Perisic, a lot more comfortable on the left-hand side. His delivery from set pieces and when he gets in wide areas is a boost to him, Rob. So I think it's an indication of him not being happy with all that he's got, and he's kind of fixing bits and sticking bits on, sticking plaster kind of thing to get him through. And it worked in the end, although Royale came on and still did quite well, actually, when he came on. But, it's a bit like he hasn't got the quality that we've talked of the other big six teams in those areas, which are crucial, you know, for successful teams.
But, I mean, all three of those players on the bench have been brought in fairly recently, Rob, isn't it? No, these right being. I guess Matt Doherty.
He's been though, Rob, hasn't he? A couple of times. I'd be like, they haven't always been his signing. Certainly DJ Spence, I don't think, was.
No, it was a club signing.
Yeah, it was like a club signing. Yeah, so I'm not sure he's totally enamoured with any of them, really.
The other thing as well, just in the lineup, Rob, before we get into the game a little bit.
Yeah.
I just noticed that Longley played centre-back. Dyer to the right. Again, just like, I know they aren't a big deal, but obviously he's still not... He's still not happy with something. And Dyer, you know, we always thought he liked him in the centre to come out with the ball and to ping it with that right foot, you know, in behind the opposite fullback.
Yeah, that fullback, yeah.
But I don't know. It's just something that, I don't know the reasons in this particular matchup. Maybe there's something that he felt he needed Dyer on the right-hand side. But something to watch, Rob, the weekend in following Spurs games, like with Eric Dyer. Like, why wouldn't he play
which
him
in the middle? Which side does, yeah. And obviously Romero's out, isn't he? So whether he's balancing that up and Davies, who's been a brilliant servant and continues to get good minutes, you know, under Conte on the left-hand side brings a balance. So, it was one of those issues. Interesting as well, Rob, because he did go for the extra, initially went for the extra forward, didn't he?
Yes.
In the team. So he got Moore and Son underneath Kane, went back to the two holding midfield players with the wing-backs, which was a little... change again, a little tweak in that midfield area.
Well, didn't you say last time, Rob, I think like and I think I agree with you that the three forwards is better.
Yeah.
Given how cautious he was. And on that note, blimey, again, the first half from Spurs, it's so... I'll tell you what, Rob, I sat down like about 8 minutes late to the kickoff, right? I sat down in my front room and I start watching the game. And I'm like, there's no point me rewinding it. There's no point because it'll be exactly the same as when I started watching. Super passive, behind the ball, allowing Marseille to get confidence, to build up and to add a little bit of pressure and create good chances, by the way. Good chances that they created.
They had a number of them, didn't they? I think, you know, Lewis come up with a couple of saves. They had good chances, missed a couple. I mean, we're getting to the stage on the podcast, Rob. We have podcast rules. We might just say, we only talk Spurs from half-time onwards.
Yeah, agreed.
We're going to say the same old thing, aren't we, about the first half in matches? Right.
The only thing we have to say, Rob, is Heung-min Son.
Yeah.
Got injured.
Massive blow.
I think
massive
the 29th, blow. 30th minute.
Collision, wasn't it?
Yeah. What has he got? He's got...
So he's got a facial fracture that needs repair. He's going to have to go in for surgery. And I know it's an injury that you picked up during your career, so you can tell us a little bit in terms of time and the rehab on that one, Rob. But you saw it was a bad knock. He was never looked quite right once he got up. And it's terrible news, obviously, for Tottenham in what he brings to the team with Kane and the front line. And terrible news for the player, possibly with World Cup just around the corner, Rob. In terms of time... You had something similar and you had a play in that area in your eye. How long were we talking?
Well, again, it's difficult to speculate what the actual damage is. All I can say is that I had a very similar contact. I had a depressed fracture of the cheekbone and a crack in my eye socket right in the center of my left side here. And... I mean, my eye just went like a bit of a boxer. It was swollen. I actually played on crazily. The doctor literally looked at my face and he looked him in the eye and said, can you see? And I'm like, well, just about out of that. What I can see. He certainly basically said, go on and carry on. I remember it so well. It was Sunderland away and we actually ended up winning the game and it helped us towards promotion. But it was late in the season, the championship season. And the next, I think the Saturday, next game, Rob, I'm literally in my kit. And I'm about to go and warm up for a game at Ayresden Park. And they're like, no, you can't play. You can't go and get changed. That's when he discovered the fractured cheekbone. And cheekbones, again, I don't know what it is, but it was that area. And I had to have surgery. I've still got a titanium plate here just to keep this side of the cheekbone kind of elevated. I mean, I used to look like David Beckham, by the way, before I...
I was going to say, all those totally film star different. Looks, I mean, the amount of scripts you must have lost through that.
I know. I tell you what, it must have been, it was four to 6 weeks. I remember it was, I couldn't do anything, so I went away.
Problem, isn't it? Contact. Because, I mean, surgery is so much better now from those days, sports science. But I would think, Rob... you've got to be wary of a second knock or any kind of second re-injuring of that area because obviously it's so close to the eye and obviously the head. It's a big problem. So, it's a huge loss for, feel so sorry for Heung-min Son, first of all, obviously Tottenham fans. North Korean fans who, you know, he would be a big part of the plan. So, yeah. But Spurs did move on up. They actually, yeah. Basuma came in, got an extra midfield man, went with the two up top and got the job done in the second half. Better, more intensity, better pressing. So you want to give a little mention to my friend. Rodrigo Bentancur.
He's been playing well. Yeah,
playing well, like more athletic, Rob, than I thought. Wins the ball a little bit more. He's better in possession than I thought. Just at times, and we'll give Højbjerg the credit he deserves, because obviously important goals and what he needs. But Bentancur has been a really important part of this. When I wasn't totally convinced and wasn't sure, he would definitely be a starter in the Conte team, the way he set the team up.
No, I'd seen him before. I'd seen him before in different leagues, and I remember him being quite a technical player, actually, and really good on the ball. Now, in Conte's version of him, he's more safe than I can remember. You know,
so he could be a bit more creative.
He could.
Yeah,
I've seen him be more creative, but I think in that role, in that team, with what his manager wants, he's a little bit sticking to basics, and he's not. Mm. I mean, I've seen him kind of dribble out of trouble, really quite technical.
Yeah,
and I haven't seen that so much, and unless his game's kind of changing a little bit. But no, I think him and Højbjerg, particularly Højbjerg. I mean, wow. Yeah. I mean, what a player he is. I mean, he is not spectacular. He's not skillful. He's not going to make that many defense spitting passes, but then he step up with some big moments, just big moments.
He's like a big moment
defensive guy, plays you know, the crossbar before he scored the winning goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a guy that has to do so much work in his own penalty box, helping out those three defenders, centre backs that still don't look secure. No. Rob, I mean, the chances that they gave up. I mean, the one that comes to my mind, of course, is super. Oh, who was it? The
header.
Massive header at the end.
Klasinac has a great chance. Yeah, he has a great chance.
I mean, this could have been different, Rob.
Yeah.
This could have been very, very different, you know. And you look at Antonio Conte's record in the Champions League, I think it isn't, you know, for the teams that he's managed, it isn't been that great. So, you know, you're just starting to think about, God, you know, again. But, you know, he knocks it in at the end there. And, of course, they needed a point, but they've got the win. But it was much better in the second half. Much more
way
energy, much more desperation, much more kind of front foot football. And Marseille were, as we might expect them, they weren't good enough for that point. But, you know, again, it's not all, you know, great stuff for Tottenham, because they could have conceded not just the one at the end, but there's others as well. They still... For a team that wants to rely on its defensive stability, they're not that blimmin' stable.
It's really funny, Rob. So I've just come back from San Francisco. I was up at a conference for a couple of days. Just jumped back from San Francisco airport. As I was just sitting there waiting for my plane, a guy comes up, said, recognises, you know, say hi to Rebecca and you and Tim. Spurs fan.
Right.
American born, was just saying, do you know what? I'm just enjoying what we've got. We're not great. We don't play well. Yeah. But, you know, and he said, and he hit a big point. He said, well, we have got a bit of spirit about us now. Like, these late goals, Rob, keep coming, don't they?
Mm.
You know, Bournemouth, you look at games during the season, the Sporting game. Mm. They come up with big moments. And it's interesting as well that he said it's 12 months since Conte took over. It's like his first year. And they have got a bit of difference to them. They're certainly not right yet. We've talked about fullbacks, we've talked about the three centre backs, we've talked about how the midfield setup could be. And there's still different modules of what Conte wants to eventually get to. But there is change, Rob. There is change with this group.
There is change. They are very different now.
I think
what the Spurs fans are going to have to accept, and maybe like this guy that you met, Rob, maybe accepted that this is a step. These are steps in the right direction.
Mm.
If it continues to kind of trend this way, and that might be another couple of years, Rob.
Yeah, four or five windows.
Spurs never going to go crazy and bring in.
Yeah.
But you know, they've got a guy that wants to win. I mean, an example of this about how they changed. I want to mention, I've got to make a note of it here. How about the block by Ivan Perisic, which is a certain goal? It's a certain goal.
Yeah.
He comes in, Rob, from that right-hand side, and he protects, he keeps his arms down, and he gets in the way of a block that is he's 3 yards away from the goalkeeper, or he's going towards the corner. I mean, things like that. I mean, that's brilliant, brilliant defending. You know, you talk about spirit with Højbjerg scoring the goal, but there were some big defensive plays as well. You know, that, I'm like, again, in another day, that goes in, it could have been different. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that it's not pretty, but they are tougher. Yeah. There is a mentality. He's a winner. He's slowly getting that over, even if there's parts of the team that aren't anywhere near what he's going to want to see. They're still moving in the right direction. And I always look at that for managers, particularly if the big clubs, Rob, that because there's so much scrutiny and pressure on them.
Yeah.
Do I feel that they're progressing? Mm. Do I feel this is moving forward? And you've got to say, Spurs, yes, given where they're on the Premier League table, they've qualified for the knockout stage of the Champions League. Mm. And as we end up, I end up saying every blooming show, there's more to come from Tottenham. But it's a little painful at times, particularly the first half watching this team.
We don't do that. We don't mention first halves anymore, mate.
Well, that's easier. It's less time in front of TV. Great.
Also, just want to give a mention to, I think it's Christian Stellini, the assistant, Rob. Not an easy position, not an easy night to be on the side. And he had me, I played back the part just before the goal when the ball gets played out to Harry Kane. Harry takes a touch. Harry takes a moment, like just cleverly, like lets the defenders get set and then passes it to Hoiberg. I thought Stellini was going to run on and pass it for him. He was like pointing to Harry as if Harry hadn't seen him. And fair, Harry had it all under control. And again, he becomes the difference when they start playing well. He's still probably their most creative player when he drops deep. But I just thought it was a big night for him, Rob, stepping in, 1-0 down at half time, all that was going on. Conte stuck in stands, concerned. Yeah. And he must have got in the group and got a response. So well done, Christian Stellini, and backroom staff who are important parts of clubs. And we never talk about them, really.
Yeah. And Ryan Mason was on the bench as well. That was in conversation with him all the time. And fair play. I mean, that's well done. Like, you know, the head coach is up there and he's thinking, you know, that's a good work from those two down there. Correct. On the bench. So, no, good shout, Rob, that is. Mm. I mean, we don't often mention that when the pressure, God, I mean, that, I can imagine that competition, given the fact they need a point.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, they've done it. Well done, Spurs. They finished somehow. They won the game and they finished top of their group. And again, we'll go at the end and see who they might get in the next round.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Okay, so Spurs was the only game really from the English point of view with something on. We'll quickly sort of, Liverpool ended Napoli's great run. Can't be a bad thing for Liverpool to get wins. I mean, had a couple of results that they've had recently against the likes of Forest and Leeds. Goals from Salah, goal from Nunez, the kind of people you'd want. Nunez came on it as a sub. Curtis Jones back in the team. Thought had a couple of good moments, Rob, in the game. You know, could be an important person for them. I think James Milner's got a bit of a knock with the head. I think they're looking at that. He took a bit of a knock. But generally, for Liverpool, they got the job done. They got a couple of goals. They get a win. Sort of plodding along at the moment, I've kind of got in my Liverpool head. Like, plodding along. It's not the mentality monsters. It's not that great intensity, but they're kind of plodding away and trying to build a bit of momentum, I believe.
Yeah, it's like trying to get through with minimum requirements. Mm. Minimum requirements to get through. You know, Napoli win the group. Liverpool finish up second. And actually, by the way, Rob, it's funny. We'll talk about it at the end. Their options for the round of 16 aren't as bad as you might think, actually.
Oh, being again, a second
being a second place, you think, but a lot of those are English. They can't draw them. But anyway, we'll get into that a little later. The only thing I'd mention to this, Robert, I know the manager, Jurgen Klopp, under a lot of pressure, recently said, I'm not tired. I'm not blaming that. It's not that. I'll find ways to get this better. It's just Darwin Nunez. And I like him, Rob, basically. And I think Liverpool look more of a threat when he plays. I think his games per minute played is actually pretty good. You know, people talk about, you know, how many goals he scored, but, you know, he got sent off.
Yeah, he missed three games, didn't he? Broke his rhythm and that,
I think he's going to be good for Liverpool. And I know it's a very difficult moment right now for him to try and integrate and to settle in and for fans to think he's going to be the guy that's going to be a regular scorer. Because the team aren't playing great. But those two scoring is important. Nothing's simple for Liverpool right now, and I get that. No. But still useful. Anfield, European night, Napoli, group winners, 2-0. Well done, Liverpool. And we'll see how they go to the World Cup. And then maybe things will look a little rosier at Boxing Day when they come back.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Yeah, and we'll rent into Chelsea, Stamford Bridge, home to Dinamo Zagreb, 2-1 winners, 1-0 down actually, and came out to a Sterling goal, and then Zachariah on his first stop gets a goal. Dennis Zachariah, who I think he's one of them players we signed like in the window, Rob, and they bought like to sell in one or two others, and I haven't really seen him. Not quite sure where he was, but I thought he did okay today. Looks a bit all action. Obviously he's going to learn and get better, but an important goal. Yeah. And I heard Graham Potter talking about him and said, competition for places is important, and he's going to, he's done himself no harm, and he's in the mix now. So, really pleased for him to get his goal and be part of it. And little sort of, I think Ryan Sterling's first goal in eight, I believe, Rob. I think it was an important goal for him because things are just not gone a little bit quiet for him, and obviously playing in that left-hand side, which often, can be construed as a wing-back. It's not necessarily in the Graham Potter scheme of things, but, people are starting to ask questions about, is it the right place for him? Is he going to get his goals from there? So played a little bit narrow underneath today and obviously gets his goal, which I think is important to him, and a good response to the 4-1 defeat at Brighton at the weekend.
Yeah, I had a good look at this one, Rob. Good look at this one today. And always interested in how Chelsea set up with Graham Potter. And, of course, it's different again. Back four, very much a back four today. Azpilicueta, Chalobah, Koulibaly and Ben Chilwell.
Yeah.
A bit like Heung-min Son. Ben Chilwell went off of holding the back of his leg. Well, it just looks that way. We're told not to speculate on injuries. Correct. He's holding the back of his leg after he sprinted. So it looks like hamstring related. Tough to speculate. If it is a hamstring tear, we know they're anything between 3 weeks and 8 weeks. So that's could be difficult for England on that side of things.
So on his face, actually, there's a great shot of him as he's been taken off the pitch. He could have written all over his face.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting one, Robin. I was going to mention the other time, just before you continue with Chelsea, but just players, mate, right now, ahead of 2-3 weeks to a World Cup. And I think it's human nature, Rob. You would hold back a little bit on one or two things because of what the consequences could be.
You've got, haven't you? You've got. I mean, maybe those players that have done it before, and maybe they can forget about it. But the ones who have had maybe their first World Cup or
on the outside hoping to get in.
I can't imagine, mate. I mean, you were lucky enough, mate, to do it, and brilliant for you. I'm sure it's an amazing experience. I didn't. I would flip and climb a mountain to play for a national team in a World Cup.
Yeah.
So but again, maybe these guys are used to it. But and I did think about it in this game. I've thought about it in other games, with many players that I'm like, are you going flat out? Is that, I mean, to be fair, Rob, I don't think there's been anything noticeable.
Anyway, that we've
said, like, look at this run.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's quite at it. Yeah, he's pulling out.
I haven't seen anything this outstandingly like, whoa, hang on a minute. I don't think. But when you sprint for a ball, he's not thinking of anything.
Yeah, exactly. So he's just going for the ball. Then his instinct is takes over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And just on the way they played, well, again, I love this sort of stuff. So it was a midfield diamond. So Havertz at the top of the diamond. Mount was to the right. Zachariah was to the left. Dennis Zachariah, the guy that scored the goal, made his debut on loan from Juventus. And then Jorginho was holding. And then it's Aubameyang and Sterling, Rob, kind of split, kind of wide strikers. But I thought they were a front two. With Havertz kind of floating around a little bit. I'll tell you, I was impressed with Rob. And it's not a name that people are going to get excited about. I thought Jorginho continues to play well,
Yeah.
His passing is as progressive as anybody's, and certainly in the Chelsea squad. He always looks for a forward ball. He always looks for good balls in behind. And I think he connected a couple of times with really good ones that could have led to goals. Maybe one of them did lead to a goal. I can't remember now. But I just remember thinking, I'm going to mention him because, you know, we all know what he's not. He's not a great defender. He's not physical. Yeah. He's not quick. But when a team dominates, like Chelsea ended up doing this game, by the way, Rob, they didn't start well. They go behind. The football wasn't slick. It wasn't connected. I'm thinking, is there too many changes that Potter's doing? Is there too much? Sterling now is a striker. He's been right forward, left forward, wing back. But then it clicks a little bit. And in the second half, Robbie made millions of subs like he can and has. And we talk about Chelsea with the he's using the whole squad. We're seeing it every single game. Zakaria's game it was today.
Yeah.
You know, Aubameyang rested the last game. He plays in this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, Gallagher and all those came on.
Yeah,
that there's the message must be getting over because all the subs came in and all of a sudden there was a new energy about Chelsea.
Yeah,
and they drove at the game. They drove at the game. They're looking for more goals, hungry for more goals in the second half, and could have had more. Dinamo Zagreb tired out trying to stop Chelsea. They started well, but I think the longer the game went on, Chelsea got stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah. And you know, they have got
a decent squad though, Rob, haven't they? When we talk about, you know, Tottenham. You talk a little bit maybe about Arsenal. Chelsea have got a deep squad.
Oh,
two players for every position, virtually.
Yeah. I mean, Loftus-Cheek came in off the top of my head. Broa came in. Loftus-Cheek came in.
Yeah.
Gallagher came in.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Christian Pulisic came in again.
Not
I mean,
off the start. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's using them and they're getting results. I feel right. And I'll ask you about this. I still feel. Because again, we read a ton of stuff and we listen to a lot of radio and UK stuff and everything. I still get the vibe, particularly from UK radio, that people aren't sure about Potter.
Yeah,
and he's getting a little bit of. I'm like, well, he's kind of done well, hasn't he? It's funny because I had a little tangent here, Rob. I jumped on a guest for a podcast yesterday.
Yeah,
with actually US international Tim Ream is doing a podcast with Steve Salengro, who works for NBC.
Yeah.
And Steve was kind of saying, you know, Potter, is he, you know, so there's a vibe out there that it's not going great. I think it's going pretty blooming well, mate.
Yeah. It's really funny, isn't it?
It's really funny because certain managers can go in, and Angelotti, for argument's sake, and people go, great work. That's great. We can see what he's trying to do. For some reason, Graham Potter's not held in that regard. Jesse Marsh is not held in that regard. Unai Emery is not held in that regard. And so there's a section of the I wouldn't say just the British media, but there is it's sometimes in the media, and it becomes a bit of a viral, like talking general public opinion, that people are like, still not sure about this Graham Potter. He could do it at Brighton, but, you know, they almost wishing him to fail so they can prove their point.
Yeah. Also, Rob, I mean, again, not to speak down of some of these guys, but a lot of ex-players that are pundits now in the UK, they are going to bring up, and we have too, about, well, you know, the big-time personality, is he big enough for Chelsea? And when big-time players say things like that, journalists jump on it, and then it kind of starts to circulate a little bit. And why is he, you know, and again, I'm not having that either as well. No, but I think that is something that's going to be leveled against Potter until
he wins something or until he goes to a level or whatever. And that's what he's got to do. But he's a smart, bright coach. Point you made, Rob, when he brings his subs on, his subs, A, want to play, to bring in intensity. How many times have we seen subs have a sulk up because they're not playing, they get thrown on for 20 minutes and don't get at it? You know, which was happening more under Tuchel, by the way, who has won a Champions League. But the last few games at Tuchel, he wasn't getting a tune. Hakim Ziyech almost like looked at him as if to say, me and you were done in that last game they played in Champions League. So, it's a good point you make. And listen, I think Graham Potter's just got to get his head down, continue to do what he does. I would like to think the ownership group of Chelsea are pretty generally pleased with the way things have gone. And it's going to be an important second half of the season for Graham Potter, Rob. Once the World Cup's done, they've got to make sure they're getting close to that top three. They've got to go deep into this Champions League competition. And domestic cups might be something. He might want to win one of those early on to just settle things down.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about yesterday with this, just finally on Chelsea here, Rob, is like, and Steve said to him on the podcast, he doesn't really know his system yet. He doesn't know his best team yet, which may be true. But I'm like, well, they've had games every 3 days since he's been there, really, because the European competition. He's got to try and rotate. I mean, he's still feeling out his squad and how best to set them up.
See, I think, Rob, with a Graham Potter, and he's very different. And listen, one day we should do a podcast maybe on systems and managers and that. But I think Graham Potter is a kind of manager who doesn't have a best 11, who doesn't have a set system.
No, he must.
I think Potter has three systems, and there is no set 11 that play
like
in his team.
Like Pep,
a bit like Pep, absolutely. Mm. I think that's how modern coaching and modern managers now have it. I don't think it's as rigid as it used to be. Well, put his best team out and let him play. No, that's not quite how these guys work anymore.
No, that's a good point. No, so, but I mean, yeah, Chelsea got the job done.
Yeah.
Looking more like scoring, Rob, than they ever have.
Yeah, I saw 22 shots, Rob, six on target, which is a lot of shots.
Thomas Tuchel's last few months, mate, that wasn't happening. They were struggling to do anything going forward. So that's something that I definitely think is better and improved, and he's got more players in the box, etc. So Chelsea finished top of their group.
Yeah. So look, are we gonna have a little roundup of finishing group winners, group runners up, and possible certainly for the English clubs, Rob? What might be danger? Well, what might look not too bad?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, about Man City, Rob, we're just going to I didn't see a lot of this game. I know some of the younger players played, Rob. 3-1 against Sevilla.
Yeah, 1-0 down, actually. Got done on a set piece and then, came back. Alvarez took his goal really nicely, actually. I know you were talking, passing goalkeeper. And young Rico Lewis, one of, who's come through at the football club, 17 years of age, Rob. So I believe I wrote down he's 17... years of 17 years, 346 days old, which makes him the youngest player to play in the Champions League and score on his first start. Ahead of a player who was 17 years and 352 days, Benzema.
Back
in the day.
Oh, wow. God, he started young, didn't he? Yeah. What a career. Right back there.
Good win for City. Pep was delighted when young Lewis scored. It's great. It's great to see when Pep appreciates those kids who come to the academy, because everyone keeps on about the money with City and whatever. But it's great when you see people coming here. You've got the Fodens, Cole Palmer was in the starting, Rico Lewis at right back. It's great when they come on. And we also got, for the Alvarez goal, mate, it's like... He almost did patent the pass, shouldn't he? Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
That right-handed ball. Yeah. I mean, no one does it better in world football, that ball.
I did see the goals, and typical Man City goal. Just back on the youngsters, Robert. I know Pep has always said, whichever club he's been at, he doesn't want a big squad because he wants to be able to get players from the youth team or U21s or 23s or whatever it is on the bench and in games. And when we do... nearly every Man City game on our NBC broadcast show as well, we look at the bench as like, there's one we hadn't heard of. And there's always two or three super young guys. So that's something that nobody talks about. I think it's a brilliant philosophy from the club or from Pep, just to sort of like young kids, there is an avenue.
Local boys,
you come through, you do well. You're going to sit on the bench in Premier League games and in Champions League games. So, they won their group and maybe considered favourites. Maybe we'll talk about it at the end, Rob. But let's just to go through other important games today. I mean, the other one was Milan, wasn't it? And what that meant for the Chelsea group, wasn't it? They beat Salzburg 4-0. I think they needed a point. Yeah. Pretty intense game. Yeah. Flying out the traps. AC Milan, a legendary football club that we have admired some of the teams in the past. I mean, incredible football teams they've had. Yeah. Like when we were playing, Rob, and, you know, incredible names, etc. So I'm pleased, you know, that they found a way through. Real Madrid beat Celtic 5-1. Copenhagen, Borussia Dortmund 1-1. Some other results here. What other ones really mattered? I guess Bayern versus Inter is always interesting. 2-0 to Bayern. But there wasn't that many. I mean, PSG
2-1, but finished second, yeah.
Yeah, the Benfica result, 6-1 at Maccabi Haifa, was a pretty amazing result, which has enabled them to finish top of their group. Benfica top, PSG second. So, I've got them all written down here, Rob, the first of the group. So, let me go through the winners. So, of course, there's 16 teams that go through.
Yeah.
And the winners are Napoli, Porto, Bayern, Spurs, Chelsea, Real Madrid, Man City, Benfica. Runners-up, Liverpool, Bruges, Inter, Eintracht Frankfurt, Milan, Leipzig, Borussia Dortmund, and PSG. So, I've just written down the possibles for the English Premier League side. Yeah, so, Liverpool, the round of 16 draw. Not sure when the draw is.
I wasn't sure if it's before.
It's out there. It's not far away. Like, maybe Monday or something. I don't know. It's soon. So Liverpool may, again, the rules are you cut in the round of 16. After the round of 16, all bets are off the draw.
Yeah.
But you can't play a team from your country or a team that was in your group. So Liverpool finished second. So they're playing a team that finished first. But because of there's so many English and
Spurs, Man City, Chelsea.
Yeah, they can't play them. They can't play Napoli. So they could draw Porto, Bayern, Real Madrid, or Benfica. Now, I mean, Bayern and Real Madrid, but I wouldn't say, I mean, Real Madrid are starting to look stronger, but it's not as bad as you might think. Finishing second with all these great clubs in it, you know, they, you know, that's not bad for them. Spurs could draw Bruges, Inter, AC Milan, RB Leipzig, Dortmund, PSG. PSG are the big ones here, Rob.
That's two games of danger.
Spurs don't want PSG.
No.
I mean, why not? The others, why not? Chelsea's similar. Bruges, they could get.
Yeah,
Inter.
Bruges would be a nice one.
Yeah, and Bruges would be a great one for all of the English teams. These three. Leipzig, Frankfurt, Leipzig, Dortmund, and then, of course, PSG. Man City, Bruges, Inter, Frankfurt, AC Milan, Leipzig, and again, PSG. So that's whoever PSG gets, you know, if the English boys, that's the one they want to look for.
That's a massive game, isn't it? Yeah, that'll be a massive two games.
I mean, what we've seen so far, Rob, just, I don't know, who do you fancy? I mean, who are we thinking that's going to be big favourites for?
We've got to put City in there again because of what they do, how they do it, with what they can bring in and rotate and look for the competition. They've got the added value of Erling Haaland up top, Rob, that could be a different maker, might take a few more chances in games when it might be open. Yeah. We know that defending is not going to be the way they'll win it. So, from City, have got to believe that they... Liverpool, Rob, might have to concentrate a little bit more on this competition. Is it something that they could get their heads round again and get some momentum second half of the season?
Maybe
that's, you know, a lift for them. He did talk about, we can't, you know, the title's gone now, but we are in other competitions that we can go for. So, you know, you wouldn't put it past Klopp sort of coming back after Christmas and you know, getting a reasonable league position, but going deep in this competition.
Yeah. Just to confirm, the draw is actually on Monday. It is on Monday, the round of 16 draw. Yeah. Just others, Rob, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think first off, let's crack through the big names, because big name teams, you know, Real Madrid, you know, they're always going to have to be regarded.
Real Madrid, you've got it,
You've got
respect.
I'd also put Bayern Munich in there as well.
Sadio Mane playing Bayern Munich, going back to Liverpool. How about that? How about that one, my friend?
That'd be amazing. Napoli, talking Liverpool's group. I mean, Napoli are on fire.
Unbelievable run,
Unbelievable.
21 games, I think, they've been.
Yeah. So he's doing a remarkable job there. They deserve a mention at this point.
Yeah.
And then you've got PSG, haven't you? You've got PSG, where like, if you see some of the goals and some of the movements in the front three, you think, wow, how is anybody living with them? But it's not just about going forward. And we know that defensively, you know, they didn't finish top of their group, for example. So they will be in there with the favourites. I just don't think they're going to. I just don't. I think it'll be similar again, where they'll find teams will find a way to do a job on them over two legs and block them up, and then they'll maybe concede. So I don't think they'll go all the way. No. Maybe it's Man City's year, Rob. You know, maybe it is their time with that extra goal threat from Haaland. Yeah. That can, you know, because they are going to concede. They're going to concede. They always have in these stages. They always will. But maybe with this guy, you know, they can bang in more goals and win some high-scoring games. But no, it's fun to see the 16 on a piece of paper.
Yeah, and the knockout. Once that draw comes, then it has another bit of flavour and who's playing who and who might get knocked out. You don't know. Some, you know, one of these big boys can get knocked out by somebody, have a bad night in this competition. It can be really difficult. So. Yeah, it's always great stuff, mate. Listen, we're going to wrap it up there. And it's been a good week for the English teams in the Champions League, all through the group stages. Now we wait the big draw to see who they get in the knockout stages. We're going to be back on Sunday, that's November the 6th, when we'll recap match week 15 of the Premier League. That includes a couple of real big games. London Derby, Chelsea facing Arsenal, and Spurs hosting Liverpool. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.